A 6 model, Ryan noticed, with the number 22 stamped on the barrel. Apart from the Kentucky musket, all the guns looked in amazingly good condition. There were a very few original antique firearms in the Deathlands. But these blasters were so good that they had to be, as JB had suggested, skillful remakes or rebuilds. All three men looked to be in their mid to late 30s, and they were calm and self-possessed. Yet they showed none of the usual Sekhmen's arrogance.
The words of the young, as the falling of broken shards of a pot,
and of less worth than the dry dirt that spills from the wheels of the dung cart.
Yeah. What can we do to help you folks?
Whither go ye, and from whence? And what is your business here in Claggartville?
The speech was old-fashioned and stiltedly formal, reminding Ryan of old books he'd read and old historical vids.
We got us in a wreck about 10 miles back. Had a run-in with some muties near a ville called Consequence.
You've been with the punished ones of Consequence and have come here?
Ryan looked at the tallest of the trio.
Yeah. Had to chill us some and burn down a house. You know about them?
By the broaching of the flukes. They are sodden and evil, and no man, no woman, no child goes there. It is forbidden. You have slain some of the blasphemous creatures, thou sayest.
Aye, that we did. The unbelievers perished at the hands of the righteous, for so it is truly writ, is it not?
Verily it is, brother.
For the first time, there was a visible relaxing of the tension.
Where were you bound?
Out past Nantucket, but the wind rose and cast us upon the shore. We seek shelter and food from any person of charity.
Charity, brother? Nay, thou seekest not charity here at Claggartville. But if thou and thy companions will work for thy keep...
His eyes roamed across them, settling on Jack.
Yon resembles the spawn of Satan, his hair and eyes.
The boy's fine, friend. Mother was scared by a blizzard when carrying him, and the color white marks him. But he's honest and hard-working.
I am.
Jack lowered his eyes, in what he hoped looked to be a suitably humble way.
Have any of ye hunted the great fishes?
We killed a muty whale shark only yesterday.
Then you will find work in Claggartville. This place lives off the great fishes of the ocean for food, light, and heat.
The sick man's face assumed a pious expression.
Truly, we are they who go down to the sea and occupy our business in great waters. We see the works of the Lord and all his wonders in the deep.
Amen to that.
Doc attracted another approving glance from the tallest of the trio.
All outlanders are allowed 3 days free lodging and food of the simplest. Then they must find work, or they must leave the ville.
Seems fair.
A wanton woman is as a mighty splinter in the eye of an honest man.
Amen.
You must go to the place set aside for wayfarers. It is called the Rising Flukes Inn, and is run by Jedediah Rodriguez. Follow this road until you reach Wells Street. Down until you see Tripod Alley. The sign hangs where none but a blind man could miss it. You must sign the register there with your names and the day of your arrival. Sundown 3 days hence is your mark.
Thank you kindly. This is a most generous and welcoming ville.
The three road guards exchanged a knowing look with one another, but said nothing. The Rising Flukes. The sign creaked as it swung to and fro in the dark, misty air. It was painted delicately in a depiction of a great gray whale leaping into the sky in a shower of silver spray, dwarfing a tiny rowboat in the sea beneath it. Owner Jedediah Hernando Rodriguez, under license to purvey ale, spirits, and tobacco under Claggartville ordinances. On the way down into the heart of the ville, the seven friends had seen very few of the local people. Doors had slammed shut and shutters closed. Draperies had twitched, and they'd seen faces shadowed behind the small windows. Most of the homes showed the golden glow of oil lamps burning in their front rooms. Jack wrinkled his nose.
Phew, what's that smell? Like lots of dead fish.
This is a whaling town, lad. Seems likely that after the great bombing of the Holocaust, this is one of the places largely spared. It's in a deep hollow, with hills all around it, only open toward the boundless ocean. No gas or electricity, no factories for work. So they turned to what they must have done here back in the mid-1800s, hunting the whale.
You eat whales, Doc?
Me personally, or... Yes, you can. You boil them down for their oil. An awful lot of uses for the whale. In my time, they were hunted damnably near to extinction. Only the wars saved them. Probably more out there now than ever before. And quite right, too.
The oak door of the inn had a top window made from the dark green bottoms of wine bottles. Ryan pushed the door open. The smell of beer, cigars, and sweat hung in the air, and for a moment they hesitated out in the darkness of Tripod Alley.
Wast thou born in a barn, stranger? Come thou in, or stay thou out and be damned to thee. But close the friggin' door, lest we all freeze to death.
Ryan led the way inside the saloon, peering through the fog of smoke that filled the place. He saw it had a low-beamed ceiling, stained and dirty. There was a bar at the far end, and a dozen or more tables scattered around the single room. The piano was in the farther corner, under a lattice window, being hammered by a stout black man. A skinny woman in a headscarf was leaning on his shoulder, and she was doing the singing.
Oh, where, Outlanders? Jed! Outlanders for your trade!
Every head turned their way. Ryan was conscious of dark sweaters and work pants, knee boots and beards, eyes turning toward them, stillness, pint mugs frozen, halfway to mouths, playing cards checked an inch from the scarred surface of the round tables.
Hi. We were told to ask for Jedediah Rodriguez. Segment told us.
The sailor nearest him hitched a thumb behind him, pointing to the bar. Ryan looked across the silent saloon.
Rodriguez?
That's me, Outlanders. Ha ha! Come and sign the sweat-swilling register to keep them quaking sons of Sekhmet happy. Don't rock the boat, is my saying, friends. Come and have a drink on the rising flukes.
Jedediah Hernando Rodriguez leaned his hand on the top of the bar and grinned across at them, waving them over. Ryan and the six companions lined up at the bar, the locals moving out of their way. A large blue book had appeared, with a copper inkwell and a quill pen.
Jed Rodriguez welcomes you and asks you to name your poison. Put your monikers down here first.
Monikers?
Thy name's, my tall Indian friend. It's a harpooner thou art, or I miss my guess. Art thou kin to the Flathead tribes?
No, Mescalero Apache.
Ha, and a tall one at that. They'll scarcely fit thee in a whaleboat, brother.
The innkeeper was a strange-looking man. His skin was sallow and unhealthy, stretched tight across the bones of his skull. Though he looked around 30 years of age, there was no trace of any beard on his chin. His eyes were clear and dark brown, under lashes as long as any gaudy whore's. His hair was cut neatly and curled, with some sort of scented grease on it. He was wearing a shirt of purple satin, open to the waist, showing a golden necklace and a medallion. His hands were long and slender, nearly every finger sporting a jeweled ring. Ryan noticed that he wore an ornate inlaid derringer in his belt and a long stiletto with a silver hilt. The date on the register was the first day of October. The ink was still fresh at the top of a clean page. Ryan was curious and turned to the previous page. It carried only one name and the Ville of Portland. The date was April 17th.
We don't get many outlanders here, friend.
But you have a triple patrol on the highway every day?
Sekhmet are for the risk of muties. Don't rock the boat, is what I always say. Let's